Our scripture this morning is found in Hosea chapter 2, and we're going to be looking at verses 14 through 23. Hosea chapter 2, verses 14 through 23. Think back to when you were courting. I know it's an old-fashioned word, but I'm an old-fashioned kind of guy. Think back to when you were courting your husband or your wife. And the popular or Christian music of that day. The song that was your song. Maybe the first song that you ever walked real cool to. We're Baptist, we don't dance. You can go to a foot function or you can walk real cool. No, I'm kidding. Maybe it was the song that you had your first dance at your wedding with. But there's a love song in your heart and in your mind that means something to you. That means something in your relationship with this person that you love. We're about to read a love song. We're about to read a love song from God to his whoring wife. What he wants, how he wants to heal that relationship, and what he's going to do. That happened. And what it's going to look like when she receives his reign. See, what a great song. I never really thought about it, you know. Doesn't do us any good if God's pouring out blessings if we just ignore them. We have to receive them. Doesn't do any good for me to stand up here and preach the gospel. Which, by the way, we're preaching the gospel this morning. You're hearing the gospel in Hosea this morning. If you don't receive it, if someone doesn't receive the gospel, then it doesn't do any good. See, beloved, God is crazy about us. And he wants us to call him Ishi. That'll make sense in a couple of hours. I mean, it'll make sense in a little bit. It'll make sense what the name of this sermon is. Hosea chapter 2. Verses 14 through 23, and in honor of the reading of God's word, let's all stand. Therefore, behold, I will allure her, bring her into the wilderness, and speak kindly to her. Then I will give her her vineyards from there, and the valley of Achor as a door of hope. And she will sing there as in the days of her youth, as in the day when she came up from the land of Egypt. It will come about in that day, declares the Lord, that you will call me Ishi and will no longer call me Baali. For I will remove the names of the Baals from her mouth so that they will be mentioned by their names no more. In that day I will also make a covenant for them with the beast of the field, the birds of the sky, and the creeping things of the ground. And I will abolish the bow, the sword, and war from the land, and will make them lie down in safety. I will betroth you to me forever. Yes, I will betroth you to me in righteousness and in justice, in loving kindness and in compassion. And I will betroth you to me in faithfulness. Then you will know the Lord. It will come about in that day that I will respond, declares the Lord. I will respond to the heavens, and they will respond to the earth. And the earth will respond to the grain, to the new wine, and to the oil. And they will respond to Jezreel. I will sow her for myself in the land. I will also have, I'm going to use the Hebrew word here, Ruhamah. Ruhamah. We'll talk about that more in a minute. On her land, who was Lo Ruhamah, and I will say to Lo Ami, Ami, and they will say, You are my God. Let's pray. Father God, what an amazing text that you have placed before us this morning. And God, we thank you for the reading of your perfect and infallible word in our midst. And Lord, as you illumined the heart and mind of Hosea when you gave to him this perfect and infallible word, we ask, O God, that you would illumine our hearts and minds this morning as well, and that when we depart from this place, that you will be our Ishi. God, we love you with all of our soul. We trust you with all of our heart. And we offer to you our love, our lives, and this prayer. In and through the name of our risen Lord and Master, Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Obviously, we're just kind of getting wound up in Hosea. There's still a lot of Hosea to go. But there's something of a turning point in this. Okay, there's a turning point that's coming. And what God is showing to us is that he is the faithful husband. He is the faithful husband. He had said to Israel that you will be my bride. Jesus is portrayed in the New Testament as the bridegroom. I mean, we see over and over, behold, the bridegroom cometh. And we are to be prepared for his return. That the church, the body of Christ, is the bride of Christ. And that we are going to be adorned. Can you imagine? Can you imagine how Jesus is getting his bride ready for his return and what he's going to do when he comes back? Put yourself in Hosea's shoes. He's gone through a rough patch, hadn't he? God said, Hosea, I've got a ministry for you. And I mean, Hosea's good, you know, good church boy. He's raised in church. And he says, awesome, Lord. What do you want me to do? And God says, Hosea, you might want to sit down for this one. I want you to go marry a whore. What, Lord? Yeah, you heard me. That's what I want you to do. All right, Lord. If that's what you called me to do. That's what I'll do. And so Hosea does what God calls him to do. He loves this woman. He cares about her deeply. Why? Because God gave her to him. Hello? She is his wife. And he would do anything for her. All of a sudden, a baby shows up. And God says, name that one Jezreel. Because I'm not going to sow my seed in that place anymore. Hosea's heartbroken. Then all of a sudden, we don't know how much time had passed, but probably wasn't much. Another baby shows up. And God says, name that one Lo Ruhamah. No compassion. Because I've about had it. Y'all keep chasing after other gods. Y'all keep giving your heart to everything and anything that cannot heal your heart, cannot fix what's wrong in your nation, can't fix what's wrong in your personal life, and you're giving all your devotion to it, and you're calling it Baali. You're giving it a little pet name. Little pet name. And you're saying it's mine. My idol. And then just when Hosea thinks things can't get any worse, lo and behold, Gomer shows up one day and she's pregnant again. Hosea goes through that pregnancy. And when the baby's born, the midwives look at Hosea because it was traditionally the daddy that would name the baby. What is he to be called? Not mine. Not mine. That pictures our relationship with God, beloved. Our starts and our stops. I'm sure that after Jezreel was born, Hosea pulled Gomer aside while she was nursing, you know, in those initial days. I mean, I at least hope the woman stayed around long enough to nurse her baby to get it weaned. That Hosea would come to her and say, "Baby, listen, I love you. I love you so much, it's got to stop. It's got to stop. You got to stop giving yourself. You got to stop being a temple prostitute." And you know how sinners are, right? Oh, come on, don't y'all give me that blank look. You know how sinners are. Oh, yeah, I ain't never going to do that again. Let me tell you how it worked for us. We go out and hit the ville, all right, and get runt. Runt. You wake up in the morning, and your head is just going, boom, 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 boom. And you look at your friends, and you say, "Oh, I ain't going out tonight. I'm wore out. As soon as my shift is over, I'm going back to the barracks, and I'm going to hit the rack." About noon, you know, the head stopped throbbing. You've now got saliva in your mouth again. You know, you don't have cotton tongue. "Well, I might go out in town, just have one beer. I'll make it an early night, and I'll come back, you know, come back to the barracks and go to bed early tonight." And then at quitting time, "Ha! Let's get back, take a shower, and hit the veil. Do it all over again." I think the Bible says a dog returns to its own vomit to describe that situation. Because that's how we are, sinners. And so Gomer made the promises, "Oh, Hosea, baby, I love you so much. And look at this beautiful child. I know it's not yours, but we'll find a way to make it work. I love you. And I know that you love me. And we'll find a way to make it work." And Hosea, he's feeling good about it. And as soon as little baby Jezreel is weaned, Gomer heads out again. And another one comes along. And it's just lather, rinse, and repeat. Hosea is going through this turmoil that just about every time his wife leaves the house, he knows what she's going to do. And he wonders if she's even going to come home tonight or if she's going to be with somebody else. And yet, this man loves her. And what I want you to understand, the reason that I took most of my time this morning to go through that is to put you inside Hosea's head. To put you inside what God called him to do, because Hosea is a picture of how much God loves you. Because we are all Gomer. We all keep returning to the same nasty pile of vomit, expecting a different result. Next week, or week after next, in chapter 3, verse 1, look at what it says. "Then the Lord said to me, 'Go again. Love a woman who is loved by her husband, yet an adulteress, even as the Lord loves the sons of Israel, though they turn to other gods and love raisin cakes.'" Men, aren't you glad that there's not an instruction anywhere in the New Testament that goes something like, "Husbands, love your wives even as Christ loved the church"? Aren't you glad that didn't make the final cut? Okay. Go again, love a woman who is loved by her husband, yet an adulteress. God is showing over and over that He wants Israel back. And He's willing to go to any length. He says to Hosea, do whatever it takes. And when we get there, we're going to see that Hosea had to take out a loan to buy her back. Okay? Because he gave all of the money he had, and then he paid the rest in barley. He didn't have enough money on hand to pay what it was going to cost to buy her back. But he did what it took to get his wife back. Peter in 1 Peter 2 verses 9 through 12 uses this to talk about the church. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness. Now wait, there's a sermon right there. Hello? We are chosen, we are holy, we are royal, we are God's own possession, so that we can sit on our blessed assurance. That ain't what Peter says. He says, so that we may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness. How many of y'all ever eaten a donut from Peggy Ann? If somebody commits to talking about donuts, are you just going to keep your mouth shut? Or are you going to tell them? I mean, even if you go to some donut shop in a far land, and you eat a donut and you go, you know what? This is good, but it's not as good as Peggy Ann. Right? You're going to testify about something, the excellencies of Peggy Ann donuts, but why won't we testify about the excellencies of God who has called us out of darkness into His marvelous light? You know, somebody come to us and say, I'm going through a rough patch, and we just go, well, bless your heart. I hope it turns out all right. Instead of us saying, you know what, I was once not a person, but now I am a person of God. I had once not received mercy, but now I have received mercy. Beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from fleshly lusts, which wage war against the soul. I'll just let y'all let that soak in. Keep your behavior. Now, listen. If I tell you to keep something, what am I implying? That you're already doing this. Keep your behavior excellent. Not just mediocre, not just so-so. All right? If you're going to get you one of them license plate that says, in God we trust, you best drive like you trust in God. And I don't mean on the edge, if you catch what I'm saying. Okay? Where they're going, well, bless God, they must trust in God the way they're driving. So that in the thing in which they slander you as evildoers, they may, because of your good deeds, as they observe them, glorify God in the day of visitation. Do you see how Peter connects this text to what God wants for us? Listen to me, beloved. God wants us to call Him our husband, not our Baal. Verses 14 to 15. What would y'all think if I walked over to Angie and just started talking to her in our love language? I mean, we have a phrase for that, don't we? Get a room, right? It's entirely appropriate for me to speak to my wife that way, just not in public. The other thing that I might have, how many of y'all have ever, listen, Angie and I were down in Atlanta one year, And we'd gone down for the Southern Baptist Convention, and I wanted a steak. Do you know how hard it is to find a steakhouse in Atlanta? That's a whole other story. But we finally found a steakhouse, and they had the music up so loud we couldn't talk to one another. And so if I wanted to say something to her, I couldn't. And so, listen. Remember when you was courting? And you weren't involved in the sparking and spooning, which you ought not be involved in until you're married, but that's a whole other sermon too. But when you was a courting and you just loved to be alone with one another and talk about the future and how many kids you were going to have and the kind of house you were going to have and where you're going to live and how much you loved one another, that's what God's saying here. I'm going to pull you aside. I'm going to get you out of the hustle and the bustle of everyday life. I'm going to get you away from all of your former lovers. And I'm going to speak tenderly. I'm going to allure you. I'm going to speak kindly to you. And then I'm going to bless you. And the Valley of Achor, how many of y'all remember what happened in the Valley of Achor? Okay, this is where the whole mess started. Back in Joshua, yeah, I just skipped a whole bunch, 7:26. Remember what happened? The children of Israel have come in, and God has said, go take the land. But you're not to take any plunder from them. So what happened? Sure as the world. A fella by the name of Achan says, well, ain't nobody going to know. If I take me some of this gold and this silver... And so all of a sudden, he takes that gold and silver for himself and he hides it. Now, Joshua didn't know where it was, but God did. And so they go into battle against a little town by the name of Ai. And they got their hinies handed to them. Okay? They should have been able to conquer that town, but they got their hinies handed to them. And Joshua's going, what up? And God says, you got somebody in your midst that disobeyed me. And so they stoned him and they raised over him a great heap of stones that stands to this day. And the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. Therefore, the name of that place has been called the Valley of Trouble to this day. You see what God is saying? He's saying that he's going to turn this Valley of Trouble into a door of hope. Verses 16 through 20. If y'all went back and read some of the letters, well, you wouldn't be able to read them because nobody can read my handwriting. But back in the day when I was courting Angie, we used a thing like this and a piece of paper. How barbaric. To let somebody know. And so it was my goal every day when she'd come to clock in that there'd be a note on her time card from me. And in those notes, I would tell her how much I loved her and how much I was looking forward to the day when she would be my wife. That's what God is saying in verse 16 through 20. He's saying, in that day, you will call me Ishi. In Hebrew, Ishi means my husband. How many of y'all got a pet name for your beloved? Mine is Hey Stupid. That's what Angie calls me. No, I'm kidding. That's not true. But we have a pet name for someone that we really love, right? And so God is saying that you're going to call me Ishi. And you will no longer call me Baali. Now, in Hebrew... The word for master and the word for Lord are very similar. Or I'm sorry, the word for master and Baal are very similar. And so he's saying, you're not going to call me this master. You're going to call me husband. Because, listen, it's one thing for me to be in a master and do a boss kind of subordinate relationship with my wife. That's not what the Bible calls us to. Hello. That's a whole other sermon from Ephesians 6. But it calls us to be in this relationship. this love relationship where you will not call me Baali. You'll not call me master. You'll call me Ishi, my husband. What's the difference? What's the difference, beloved? If I'm Angie's Baali, then why does she do what I tell her to do? Because I told her to do it. Okay? I'm the boss. I'm in charge. I'm the master. You will do what I tell you to do. But if I'm her Ishi, why does she do what I ask her to do? Because she wants to. Because she wants to. That's a whole different dynamic to that relationship. Amen? God is saying, listen, I'm not interested in just your blind obedience. I'm not interested in you just keeping the law. And then your heart's not right. That you're afraid of me. That you don't have this relationship with me. God is saying, go all the way back to Genesis. And you will understand that what's been on my heart all along has been a relationship with you. A relationship. I created Adam and Eve not so that they could blindly just follow these laws and rules and regulations. Because there was only one rule that He gave to them. He created them for love and for fellowship. We know that because it tells us that He used to walk in the cool, or that He used to walk in the garden in the cool of the day with them. You don't do that with people where you have this master-slave relationship. You do that with people that call you Ishi, my husband, that have this relationship with you. And God says that's the kind of relationship that I want to have with you. How many of y'all remember the name of every person you dated before you married? I don't. Why? Because they're not important. They're not important. And that's what God is saying. He said, I'm going to become so much to you that you're not even going to remember the names. You're not even going to remember all of the mess that you went through and that you put me through. God is saying that He's going to take all of the false idols and all of the false gods out of the land. Three times in verses 19 through 20. Do you see it? Oh, thank you for making that big enough I can read it. God says, I will betroth you to me forever. Yes, I will betroth you to me in righteousness and in justice, in loving kindness and in compassion. And I will betroth you to me in faithfulness. Call me crazy. Does that not echo 1 John 1:8? If you will confess your sin. If you will call me Ishi. I know I'm bending the text a little bit. If you will call me Ishi, then will I forgive you in righteousness and in justice. Oh, beloved, God is not some evil monster that's just waiting for you to mess up. God wants you to return to Him in love and to come back to Him recognizing that you're the prodigal. Verses 21 through 23. God says that He is going to respond. He says that He will give a blessing of real and a vibrant relationship with God. That our hearts will beat in tune with God, with God's heart. So that when we ask God to do things, we already know that it's God's will and He'll do it. John 15:7. If you abide in me, big if there. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done to you. In Matthew, Jesus said, seek first His kingdom and His righteousness and all these things will be added to you. You see, beloved, when God is our Ishi, then we're in tune with Him. We're in tune with Him. And we are able then to pray as we ought. And then in closing, God shows how the curses of chapter 1 are going to be redeemed. He promised a glorious redemption of the name Jezreel, which was first given as a sobering reminder of the judgment. It would become a prophecy of the promise that I will sow for myself in the earth. God would restore his people to abundance and blessing. Scattering would be transformed into sowing. Hosea's second child, a child named Lo Ruhamah, meaning no mercy, no compassion. Originally given as a marker of judgment, would be transformed into a mark of restoration. And Hosea's third child, a son named Lo Ami, meaning not my people, originally given as a marker of judgment, is now transformed into a marker of redemption and restoration. Let me ask you a question. Which of the pagan gods want your love? Does Satan want your love? He does not. He doesn't care whether you love him or not. He doesn't even care whether you acknowledge him or not. All he wants is your obedience, whether knowing or unknowing. All he wants is your obedience. Your blind obedience to what he wants you to do. God, among all of the other religions, the Lord God revealed to us in the Bible says, I want your love. He isn't satisfied with our fear. He isn't satisfied with our obedience. He isn't satisfied with our slave-like sacrifice and devotion. He wants our love freely given and enjoyed in relationship with him. And if we miss that, we miss the heart of God's work in us and for us. All that God wants from us is that he be our Ishi. Will you come this morning and accept his offer?